Namaskaram everyone and welcome back to the podcast. Today we are here in Goa with one of the founders of Yogastha. So it is run by two Hatha Yoga teachers, Asta Akka and Kaulin Anna. Namaskaram Akka.
Namaskaram.
Yes, thank you for calling me here so that we can shoot the videos.
It was my pleasure. Yes.
How are you Akka?
I am very happy and healthy. Okay. How are you?
I am also very good. It's a little hot, but it's going good.
Probably because of me and Colleen being here.
Yes, yes. They gave me too much positive pranic food. So many of you might have already seen Akka reading the death book.
Oh,
so yes. How was the death book, Akka?
Oh, I haven't finished it yet. I was thinking I'll do one more time, the 21 days, and then finish it off. But it's wonderful.
So the purpose of this podcast is you might have seen Akka doing a lot of Hatha Yoga, teaching a lot of Hatha Yoga classes. But the purpose of this podcast is more to get to know you as a person, where you're coming from, what made you, what was your life journey like, what initially started that seeking within you and led you to Sadhguru and become a Hatha Yoga teacher. And as far as I know, I interacted with them a lot, and I realized that they are not actually from Goa and they came here and made this like ashram kind of ambience. So all of us would really, I am really inspired by what they're doing and I would like to know more about it. So this podcast will be focusing more on Akka's journey. So Akka, we would like to get to know you more as a person. So a little bit from your childhood, where you're from, what you used to do, which school you are from, which college you are from. Masala content heartbreaks. Anna is very far away, so we don't need to mind.
So I think your audience will get bored with which school I am from and all.
No, please.
Okay. So, where should I start?
What's your first memory as a kid? Like, what was your first... When we go back...
First memory as a kid?
Yeah, what's your first memory? What do you remember? What was the age in which you remember yourself as first?
I remember... From being three years old also.
Okay. Oh. You remember that much?
Yeah.
Please tell, what do you remember at that
time? Like me, when my father was going to office, me nagging that, no, please give me ride. I also want to go on scooter. And then wo mujhe scooter pe bithalte the. It's okay if I speak in Hindi.
Nah.
Sometimes.
Hindi is fine. I'll caption it a little bit.
Yeah.
Little bit. But if you put it more, it'll be very hard for me to.
No, it's okay. So I would just nag him to take me around. So he would put me on the scooter and give one round of the colony and then drop me and then go. So I have that memory, playing holy memory with my chotu chotu friends. Like I was also chotu then. But yes. So yeah, that is there. And I loved tomato, eating tomato. So I remember standing in balcony and calling to vegetable vendors. When I didn't know speaking, I would just say ta. But they were very fond of me. So when my thai and when my chachi used to just take vegetables, they would put me on the thela, the vegetable vendor ka, right. The shop hota hai udhar. And I would, without even dripping one single drop of tomato, I would eat it whole. As a kid, like, it was so nice. Now also, I like tomato so much.
So, which state are you from actually, Akka? Like?
I'm from Madhya Pradesh. Yes, I am. I was born in Shivpuri. It is 100 kilometers from Gwalior. It is Sindhya's city, Shivpuri. Okay. There's Sindhya Palace and there's also a national park there.
What is like the culture of Madhya Pradesh? Like, what do you guys usually do? Is there are there certain festivals to Madhya Pradesh? Or
I think it's very generic to whatever North India celebrates. But at my home, we really we have actually how do I say? There is a small so
what is that?
We actually pray to Lord Krishna,
okay.
Baby form of Lord Krishna, okay. And also the form with who took the Govardhan Parvat on one finger.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So, unko we call them Thakurji, and then there's Krishna. So, Janmashtami is, we are very fond of Janmashtami, like it will be a great festival there.
Janmashtami is the day Krishna was born, I'm thinking? Or?
Yes, yes. It is Janma Ashtami. So he was born on a Ashtami.
Rohini, I think.
Sorry?
Rohini, this is star Rohini, right?
I have no clue. Sorry. So we celebrate that with great joy. And yes, it is when we play Holi at our home, it is so like everyone becomes an animal. So yes, that is one thing. And actually, we have a big family at my dadi's place, at my grandmother's place. So every festival is very big. When we come together, the whole family, it is very big. Otherwise, we follow whatever the general North Indians follow.
Great, great, Akka. Can we know a little bit about your parents? Like, how was it? You know, I would like to know more about, you know.
Yeah,
your
so
dad and
I...
Your mom. And if you had any siblings.
Yes, yes. We are three siblings. I am the eldest one.
Oh, is it?
Yes. Do I act like I'm young? So, I have one sister who is a dietitian and a nutritionist. She's working in Pune. She's like 3 years younger to me. And I have a brother who's in first year of college.
Oh.
He's in Indore. And my parents are currently living in Baitul. So, my father is a state government employee in PHE department, and he's often been transferred. So, whole our childhood, we'll be living in one home and then another home because he was transferred on and off. And yes, my mother is maker of all of us, actually. She's not only homemaker, but yes, everyone's.
What is your fondest memory of them, like as growing up?
It's hard to choose one.
But
yes, so my father and me, we would be very like techie.
Okay.
He is also an engineer, and I have also studied engineering. I had that logical mind since childhood. So we would just open up radio, open up the television, see what's going wrong, get few shocks from the capacitors. So it's nice, and I've always loved making papads and things with my mama.
Yeah, that'd be so right now. Some plain papads that I'll be putting on Instagram.
Yes, cool, so loved it.
How about your school days, Akka? How did that go? Did you always want to become a Hatha Yoga teacher in school?
Oh no, never. But since childhood, like as far as I remember, I think I was in third or fourth standard. I remember having this vision or dream that I'm having this well-being center or a center for everyone's growth, where there is a orphanage, where there is a old age home, and there are like cows and buffaloes from, and we have their own milk and, you know, homemade ghee, and we have little vegetable farming. And there's something like some classical arts is going on. Either it is the Kathak or some classical music with instruments. There was this whole collection of, you know, this that there's a small nursing home also. And everyone is very healthy there. We are growing vegetables. And since childhood, I had this in my vision. I don't know from where it is coming from. I even don't know that such a little child can think of so much. But as I grew, it just grew with me. The vision just grew with me. And I never thought till I think maybe I was in college or 12th standard that I will go towards it or make it happen. Because I was studying to become an engineer, and maybe I wanted to become an astrophysicist and a scientist.
Oh.
Yes. So I was studying to become that, and okay. I never thought I would do that, but it was something that no, you need to make it happen. And so this idea of orphanage and old age home came as in these are the people, like the children, they don't get any elderly with them or any grandparents or parents. They don't feel that security, I think. They want that home. They might find in some elder people. And similarly in old age home, you know, that is that they are missing, I think. It's said that, you know, the old people also are again living their childhood. So they being near children and, you know, giving their philosophies of life or teaching. So it was kind of a very vivid vision that everyone is growing there. And yeah, I somehow maybe in the rat race or in the competitions of IIT and exams like this. Yeah, I got into IIT also.
Oh, you got into IIT also?
Yeah, but okay. I rejected because of the branch. And then...
Okay. Which branch did you get?
So I was getting... Oh, I forgot. I think I was getting aeronautical. Okay. But I chose branch of NIT then, which I wanted, like electronics and communications. So I went into NIT Jamshedpur.
Can I ask you back, like, see, for a vision, there already has to be a certain memory, right? So did your parents used to take you to orphanages or how?
No, never.
Then how did that idea come? How did you know the concept of an orphan? That's what I am trying to understand.
I have no clue.
No. So was it first a dream or something you had of this vision, or you consciously built this vision? Or?
So I did not consciously do it initially. I just, you know, happened to dream about it a lot, and then I just chalk it out on paper that, oh, I actually named it also. I forgot the name now, but I named
it. Was it
Yogastha? No. I made this whole picture that, aisa gate hoga, and here will be, you know, and there was elephant also.
Oh, it'd be in Kerala then.
So, yeah, it was one in everything. Yes, it was nice.
Was Kaulina in it?
No. But there were huts, were people living, and probably there were separate huts for my parents and all the people who wanted to visit. So it was nice. It seems to be a nice place still.
It is. I think this is building up to be that, I think. So from there, tell us a little bit about NIT, Akka. Like NIT is a very fun place, is what I've heard. How was it?
Oh, definitely. More than children, I think our professors bunked.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Many a times it would happen that we would be ready for the class, but the professor is not there or something like that. They would just send some M.Tech student to take their classes. So many times this happened. And I was in many clubs. There is literary club and there's music.
I thought club means Akka is going for party.
No. I studied in Jamshed, so there's no party place there. And I was not, I think, fond of parties. No, never, I think. And so the clubs, the literary club, music, dance, fashion, nukkad. The nukkad natak, you know. The dramatics club.
The street club?
The street natak happens. Yeah.
Street play.
Actually, for the street play competition, I came once to Goa.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, Bits.
Bits Bilani?
Bits Goa.
Bits Goa, okay.
Yes.
Bilani is somewhere else.
Pilani is in Pilani.
Pilani. Oh,
it is a name.
Oh my God. I have to edit all these parts. No, I won't edit.
Yes. It's, I guess it's in Rajasthan.
Okay.
Yes.
So Bits Goa, UK.
Yes, for the competition.
Party now.
Then we partied, yes. So, yeah, it was nice. All the 4 years, I had a group of friends and we would jam. So slowly I was out of every club and just in music. And we would just have jamming all the times. And just guitar and us singing songs. It was nice. Only at the time of exams, I would study. Just one day before exams. Not even one day, just few hours before exam. Sometimes I wouldn't even know the syllabus of the exam.
That's what all girls say. And when the marks
no,
come.
No, really.
That's what all girls say.
No, really.
Tell me your marks.
My roommate.
No. Let's go with the karma. What were your marks at the end of it?
No.
You tell that. Then we'll decide. How much did you score? Be honest.
I think if your total CGPA after college, I was 9.3.
Out of 10.
Yeah.
Okay, nothing. I don't need to say anything.
But I'm telling you.
One day before the exam, you can't study. Or maybe you can. You are that good at studies.
So I was more into practical things rather than studying for the sake of exams. So I was in this team called RAISE. It was a solar car team. We built a solar car from scratch. I think there were 11 or 12 members, and we built a solar car from scratch. And we went to LPU and fought a competition, and we won the prize also there, some lakh rupees. So yes, all the electronics was done by me and my friend Pranati in that whole solar car with the solar panels. And there was this system also that if you did not put the seat belt, your car will not switch on.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, two people could sit in that car and run for like 50 kilometers or so. So, yeah.
Because actually the female version of Ranchodda Stanchada. No. Because for me that breadboard itself was like, what is this breadboard?
Oh my god.
Isn't it? There's a breadboard and all.
Huh, that is the
basic. ABCD. Yeah.
But we were working with Raspberry Pi and Arduinos and whatnot. It was fun. So, bahut acha tha wo.
Okay, akka. Now we want a little bit more masala, I think. I am sure you are one of the most beautiful girls when you are in college. You still are. No, so I am sure there are a lot of suitors for you. How did you manage them? I am not even going to ask where they are. How did you manage all of them?
No. Because I was in Jamshedpur and like 50% of the people are there from the state quota. So there were more Biharis and people from Jharkhand, students from Jharkhand. And then rest of the 50% from all over the country. So right now my color is really like down because of the Goa tanning.
Goa tanning. This is tanning, huh? Guys, I'm Sadhguru color. Huh?
Yeah. back then it was much more, I don't know what to say, whitish.
Wheatish. No, wheatish is a bit more in the darker side.
Yeah. So I got, in first year, I got ragged for this.
Oh, is it?
What? Yeah. Because the fourth year guys would just come and approach me and talk to me. And the second year and the third year girls didn't like that.
Oh.
They just separately took my ragging, calling me into their hostel room and things like that.
Yes.
I was very introvert, like whole of the school and and college. I was part of the college. I was really introvert. Like I was good at speaking and things like that, and you know, helping people, but being an introvert.
I'm sorry for asking, but usually in movies and all, we see only boys ragging boys.
Yeah.
What do girls do? Like if at all, we can share it on camera. Like,
girls. So one, there was this group, it's not called ragging, okay. There it is called intro, okay?
Oh.
So initially what happened was that, so we had a different college, different hostel, sorry. First year and fourth years were in one hostel, and the different hostel was for second and third years.
Oh, first year and fourth year, such a gap.
So it would be like then this year, the fourth year would go, then the new year would come. So it was like that,
okay.
Shifting. So we were there, and one fine day, our warden calls us in the courtyard and tells us that there's this intro happening. Second year girls and third year girls will come. So second year and third year come, they all sit and like them royally, and we are standing there like third button and face down, and then one by one we would come, and they would just give us tasks.
Okay.
And there was a format that how you want to say, okay, this is my name, this is my branch, and something like that. And for some people, it was like, we have to tell it in Hindi only. Like, okay. If we are telling a college name also, that National Institute of Technology, Jamshedpur, you'll have to call it in, say it in Hindi.
Say it in Hindi, no? How do you say it, National Institute of?
National is Rashtriya. Institute is...
Vibhag, no.
No, not. Vibhag is not.
Prastavna. No, Prastavna. Sanstha. Rashtri Sanstha.
Technologies.
Tech. Hindi mein kya bolte hai? Yantra. नहीं अच्छा
यंत्र स्टूल
यंत्र स्टूल हाँ
I have no clue.
Okay, we can get into the comments if any of you know. What is it? Rashtriya Institute of? National Institute of?
National Institute of Technology.
If you know in the comments, please comment.
I think this is Pradyogik something. My Hindi is good. I am forgetting it now. It's because of his podcast. So, yes. And some would be... we would get to act something like, okay, act like a train. Or do this skit or, you know,
just
dhal gaya din and say, make a shuttle noise, like hitting it. Yeah, something like that. So, but then for the ones who were they really angry or pissed at with, they were called aside or maybe in their rooms. And then, why do I not remember what happened?
That must have been a traumatic
moment. Yeah, that, BSB done that. Everything removed. So I'm like, okay, what was that?
No, more honest, like genuinely, how was it ragging for you? Would you, like, was it a plus? Because some people I hear say ragging is needed. That only will help us. I don't know about it much. But what was your personal experience of that, you know, getting ragged?
I think when it was with the group, it was okay. It merely... was like an intro sessions and we getting close to our seniors. But where you are just taken aside and, you know, and thrashed. So that is not a good scene. When it's not your mistake, when, you know, something is happening to you or, you know, someone is approaching you or talking to you and you are getting beaten up because of that, it's not good. You don't feel very safe there then. Yeah. But it's okay, my roommates were nice. So, and then I think I fought with one of the second and third year seniors also when they came to our this and voiced my concern out.
Okay.
So then they didn't, I think, trouble me anymore.
Yeah.
I was maybe the infamous, famous one. Okay. And so then they didn't trouble me. And yeah, that was that.
No, that is very true because I remember when I was in engineering, they used to keep on ragging. They would not end it. Only when we voiced it out, a few of us voiced it, enough is enough. Then they finally, you know, backed out a little bit.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. So from there, Akka, did you go for a job or like where you did? What about astrophysics? Like, was this part of the astrophysics journey, this NIT or?
So I thought after electronics and communications, graduating in that, I would do a master's or GATE and get into ISRO.
That's the way. How does one become an astrophysicist?
So there are institutions called IISER. So you can, there's a five-year course there. Like you after 12th that you do, and after that, you get recruited as one of the scientists in like DRDO or ISRO or someone like that. Or you do masters and then become. So you have this grades of scientists that you become like E, D, then C. So like that, according to your promotions and whatever is your... however the journey begins. I don't know how it begins because I did not go through it. After college, so the responsibilities hit, and I was the first one to get placed in the on the first day of college. So I was, you know, all happy and just here and there, hopping around in college, and seeing so many TV series on like Friends and which one was that? How I Met Your Mother and
at that time,
Big Bang Theory.
Netflix was on there. We were downloading it, right? I'm thinking.
Yeah. College Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi, yeah. Torrents, I think. Yeah, Torrents we were downloading.
Yes. So, that happened. And so, I because of the responsibilities I had towards my siblings and my home, so I took the job. It was decent. I went to Bangalore. I was on the post of software developer. And so for like the all the high-end cars, no, they have basic software.
Okay.
How to explain? Okay, just just in very
explain to a 5-year-old kid.
layman. So all the cars in which you have this window going up and down with one button,
right.
Or your radio working, or you know the speakers working, or your accelerometer working and things like that, fuel meter working. So, and your engine communicating to the whole car. Mm. All this works through a
breadboard?
Software. So, okay. So yes.
It's a breadboard inside the car?
It's not a breadboard. It's a microcontroller. Okay. Microcontroller, MC. Microprocessor. Yes. So, we worked on that, building device drivers for that. I worked on that.
Which and, cars were these? Like old cars? Like a specific brand?
So, we were for the German cars. Like, I think it was going in Mercedes, Volkswagen, things like that. So, I was a software developer, and then I switched it to being data scientist, and then I switched it to being a R&D manager and a product manager for artificial intelligence and machine learning in Hyderabad.
Oh.
So, a good six and a half years.
Yes, in Bangalore.
No, part in Bangalore, part in Hyderabad.
Hyderabad.
Yes.
Okay, everything seems very good. So, how did, from there, Hatha Yoga? Now, let's go with that. It's like the main part of the podcast. No, this is also main. But from there, like, how did, okay, I think your life was going very smooth. You were earning also, I think, good.
Not so much.
Okay.
So, I went to Kota for my...
Kota?
Yeah, after 10th standard.
Okay.
So, since like after 10th standard, I have been out of home. 11, 12, then graduation, then job. And so, my health from 9th, when I was in 9th standard or probably just in 10th, I had this weird headache all the time. And after going to Kota, it just increased. So, we showed it to doctor. They just said that, you know, it probably migraine, and gave me migraine medications for some time. I I would have the medications and then leave it because it would not heal. The pain was still there and it was not doing. It was just some tranquilizers, and I didn't like being sleepy and not being in control of myself while studying things, like, so I just did not take medications. But the stress level there is too much, and my roommate also committed suicide. Oh. So it was very traumatic for me just before, I think, 12th board exams. So I went into depression. I wrote the IIT paper into when I was not, like, mentally, I was very like depressed.
We hear about suicide, but how was it? Like, you saw the person not like committing? Or...
So I was out that time, and she hung herself from...
in your room?
Yeah.
What is the schedule like? Because we see in, like, what is the Kota schedule like usually? And
so, most of the times we are in the, what do we, coaching institutes. And apart from that, from so we get this DPPs, daily practice papers. So, that we have to bring at home, or just sitting in the coaching institute, we can... finances for that. So most part of the day goes into studying. You get up in the morning, there's no exercise, there's no good breakfast. You just have the dabbas coming, which they make you know, like, for 300 400 students in a go. So then that nutrition content is all obviously gone down, and when you are a kid, you are more susceptible to the tastes that you are eating than what you know, nutrition that you are eating. So the food, food was not so good, but it's okay. Every student is just in the rat race there, thinking that no, they have to crack IIT, they have to crack the medical exams, and so they don't care about what they're eating or they're exercising, or it's not good. So most of the times we are in coaching, we come, we have afternoon lunch, and then the people who don't want to study, they go out, they have malls and chart places and hangout corners. Other who want to study, they have libraries and the sessions and coaching centers. So that happens, and days pass.
Was the person very close to your roommate or?
Yes, but yeah, like I went to actually a camp called KBPY camp, and there we got a scholarship. That's how I ended up in Kota. Otherwise, there was no plans to go to Kota and study in a coaching institute. I never took coaching. When I was in school, I never went to a tuition or something like that. So I went there on a scholarship. And she was there with me in the camp. Her name was Tejasvi Nagmoti. And she was from Sangli, Maharashtra. Very nice, cute kid. Then she got into wrong... how do we say Sangati in English?
Friendship?
Yeah. Wrong
kind of community?
Yeah. Okay. And not studying and being a brat and things like that. So... and then one day, I think because of the pressure of the exams were close and she did not study in the pressure, she did that. And it was really hard to take.
How did you come out of it? Because everyone talks about being in depression, but at that time I'm thinking you're not doing any practices, or did you go for therapy?
Definitely.
Or how did...
So, I come from a middle class family, or to say lower middle class family, and the finance is the good part of it, right? And
yeah.
Therapies are not very easily accessible to ones who are not good, not doing financially good. And then these terms were just like, there are memes, where kid says that okay, he or she is in depression, and the father or mother, they are like, okay, yeah, you just go out, sing songs, yeah, it will be fine. So I think it was not like that. My parents didn't care, but it was not very common to know these things,
right?
So that happened, and I think I was also gaining a lot of weight. And few other things were coming, like sometimes I would vomit, sometimes, you know, the food would not get digest, sometimes there'd be diarrhea. So the whole of the college went kind of in also taking care of myself medically. Because sometimes something will happen, sometimes the other thing will happen. The body was not functioning very well. And I went to doctors so many times, of Jamshedpur and of Gwalior, where my parents were staying then. But it was, not diagnosed properly. It was always said, no, it is some migraine, it is like this. And wrong medications were given. Then in 2016, when I was in third year of college, I completed fifth semester. Then... it was diagnosed that it was hyperprolactinemia.
Oh, what is that?
In which your pituitary gland swells up.
Okay.
And so for me, it was really difficult, because sometimes what would happen that I'm walking and suddenly it will black out.
Okay.
Because of the pain. And since all these years, like from 2010 till 2017, I didn't know that what a peaceful, no, not peaceful, pain-free mind looked like, pain-free brain looked like, because it was always in pain. And I got so used to it that I forgot that it could be just simply be. And so in 2016, a very good doctor, he diagnosed it, that it was hyperprolactinemia. And he took around 60 to 70 kinds of test, like parameters checked.
Okay.
I counted, like it was 84, I guess. 84 parameters checked, that this. And then he said that you have this. And because of the wrong medications all these years, it's grown. So the pituitary gland swells up. And then it pains. And pituitary glands actually takes care of all the hormonal discharge that happens in the body. So then I had also thyroid, I also had PCOD, and all that could go wrong. So hyper mood swings, if I was angry, I was really angry, that I would like beat you to death only. that if I was happy, I was super happy. And if I was just sad, I was like, I would just lock the door and just be for 2 days, for 3 days in college. So I had hyper mood swings. So it was not a very great time, but yeah, there were well-wishers, there were friends who helped me out of it. It was nice.
Was there medicine for it, for the condition you are facing?
So I took around, for 6 months, I took 22 tablets per day. Like, khana khane ke ek ghante baad ye, do ghante baad ye, then, you know, before sleeping ye, after waking up. So for 6 months, I did that and it kind of got me into control. And till then, my college was over and, no, it was it was 7th sem actually, after 7th sem, not 5th sem. So till then my college was over, I was working. And so one fine day, I worked for about one and a half months. And one fine day, I thought that, because one day also if I would not take medicine, I would get those symptoms back. I would get the pain back and I would not feel good. So I was getting used to it. I was getting addicted to the medications.
Okay, right.
They were helping me, but only if I take them daily. So I didn't want this. So I just threw everything away. I was like, I don't want this.
On fine day.
Yeah.
Okay.
After like 6 months of taking the regular medications, I was like, I don't want this only.
Okay.
And then I went for naturopathy 10 days in Bangalore itself. It helped. And then it helped to a certain extent. But then there's so much going on in corporate life also that, you know, sometimes it's 2 a.m. that you are coming back home. Not every day, but the food that you are eating and, you know, being just come out of college and managing yourself, the food also, transport and home and everything. You're doing it for the first time. Everything cannot go perfect.
Right.
So, again, the symptoms came back. I fought it and took homeopathy, went to gym, went for running. So nothing was working. It was very on and off. And this hyper mood swings would come anytime. And then slowly, you know, this. So what happened in when the pituitary gland swells is the most thing is impacted is prolactin. So the prolactin has certain limit, like it can be only till 25 unit or something like that. For me, it went up to like 84, okay. 96, like that. Very bad. So your body actually feels like, for women, when prolactin is high, your body actually feels that you're pregnant.
Oh, okay.
So all those things happen also. So those kept on happening and not happening. It was a journey.
Okay.
And I went to naturopathy and taking gymming for the sort. Sometimes Hatha Yoga in the... You might have heard Cult Fit. Cult Fit. And yes, I took care of myself quite a lot. For most of the time, actually in college also, I was just eating boiled food. I couldn't eat anything. And then after... when I was working also, I used to take care of my diet. But then you get frustrated that kab tak chalega ye, you know, why I'm not getting healthy? Why I always feel this way? So one fine day, I think it was in 2019, December, after working for around 2 years, everything went for a toss. 2019 December. My prolactin was very high. Again, I was getting all the symptoms. Something or the other thing was happening. There was some, from my bank account, there was, what do we say? Fraud.
Fraud, oh.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. I went to police station. Like, I have never been to police station. Huh. But that week, I went to police station like thrice.
Okay.
Because there was some Eve teasing and there was some... bank account ye, online fraud for that and office mein sab kharab chal raha hai, health pura down hai, was going to a therapist and I just...
That must be too much.
That was too much. That was actually the lowest that I have been. It was too much. And but Sadhguru says, no, that he only picks two types of people. I'm not sure if I'm quoting correctly. He only picks two type of people. One who are at their highest, okay, who don't know, like they have everything, who don't know what to do next. Like they are okay with everything, they are content, they have everything in their life, whether it is money or relationships, they are happy. He picked those and then, you know, makes them go on a journey forward, or who are at their lowest. Like they cannot go any more low and they are like, let's just end it. Those who are in middle, he says, I don't pick them. So I think I was there. And my sister had to actually leave her exams, college exams. She was in college, and come and take care of me. And it was horrible. And I was just scrolling through YouTube, and I found Sadhguru. Like, I was just scrolling. I was like done with it. I wanted to come out of it so bad that, you know, I was searching how to be happy, how to be healthy, very, very basic thing. And then Sadhguru popped up, like he always does. So this I am talking about, I think she came to me on 20th of December 2019, and I was scrolling through all this Sadhguru's content, and it was a inner engineering program was scheduled just near me, like 10 minutes away, from 8th of January. And I remember I remember saying to myself, if he's saying that this is a quote, crack the code of being joyful, I should try it. And I really wanted to go, but you know, I was so mentally tired and physically tired. I told my therapist that this is what I want to. She didn't know anything about Sadhguru or inner engineering, but she saw that, you know, I'm trying really hard to come out. So she pushed me that, no, you should go, you should go. This is what you should do. So, yeah, this happened. It was really hard. So, I went to inner engineering, and attended it with all I could have. You won't believe, after, I think it was 30th of January, and the tables have turned so bad. That was my last session with my therapist. I very vividly remember. The tables have turned such that she was telling me her problems. I was sitting there all happy and confident, and it was so much change. And I think I got the first fracture of my life then. So I was, I think it was 10 days after getting initiated. The program was from 8th to 14th. So on 24th, I was going to office, and I was coming down the stairs, and my leg just twisted. And I was like, okay, and my auto was waiting down. So I was like, okay, that's okay. I have to run for a meeting. So I just pushed myself into the auto, and then with that twisted leg, I just dragged myself to office. It's okay. It's just a twist. It will go away. Okay. And I was super happy, you know, all the time laughing and doing ki 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 ki.
After the program.
after the program and this leg twist incident. So, yeah, after the program, I was like all the time happy. My manager actually asked me that, am I on any drugs or something like that. I was just sitting and it was lunchtime. But I was not able to get up only because my leg just got this big and blue and red. And I told my colleagues, that my friends and colleagues, that no, it's in lot of pain, but I am still doing so they are like, no, you are bluffing, you have just put some lipstick or some color on it. But then they saw me that I am not able to get up from the seat. So if on a wheelchair I was, I think, taken to the hospital. And the x-ray was done, and there's this instant x-ray, no? So there, doctor just saw and he's like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why you are laughing? you have a broken leg. You have a fracture. So I was like, I am in pain, but it's not a suffering for me. I was just simply joyful. So yeah, with that broken leg, actually I have registered for Surya Kriya class just after the INA engineering. Okay. So with that broken leg, I went into...
You went there?
Yeah, on 1st of February, I went to the Surya Kriya class, and most of the class I would just visualize. I barely did one or two cycles, but I would just visualize and, you know, just do that, okay, after this. And... after coming back, I think it was a 3-day program. After closing...
Let me ask, with the tape you went to the program?
Huh? Yeah. It was actually in foot.
Okay.
The foot was injured. Okay. So, but I did one or two cycles in all the 3 days. So, kiya maine, or when the program got over, then you have to do a mandala, no? Yeah. Like they suggest that you do a mandala. So I was like, yeah, I will do. And morning and evening, I would sit and just visualize the practice. Like 3 Surya Kriyas with breath, I would just visualize it. And I would do Shambhavi. I was on Shambhavi mantra actually. And you won't believe, like February end, I went for that, again, that 80-84, test that was then of things. And everything was beyond normal. Like my doctor was, what are you doing? Which medication are you taking? Just tell us also. Because they didn't believe. I had lost around 12 to 13 kgs of weight. I was super happy. I was all healthy. Yeah. Although with a broken leg, I didn't care for it. So it was then I decided that... And I always wanted to... either be a scientist or astrophysician, and then later be something in arts, like be a classical dance teacher or classical music teacher. So all this while I was working, I had enrolled myself for either Kathak or classical music, like singing. So I was doing that, maybe after 10-12 years, I'll become a little bit, you know, better, at least to teach children. So I was doing all that. Then I was thinking that, okay, if that is my plan, that I don't want to be in corporate and I want to, you know, give something fulfilling to the world. And these are the classical knowledge is that I want to take forward. And yoga helped me a lot. Like it changed my life completely. And I completely owe it to Sadhguru. So why don't I be a teacher? And then I... scrolled on the internet that how do I become a teacher, and it was like 6 months. I was like, whoa, yes. But 2020 was time of lockdown. So then I had to also actually save. So then from my job, I saved all that money for, because teacher's training is not very, you know, it's costly. Yeah. So I saved all the money, but I think it's worth it. If it was not 6.5 lakh, it was just, you know, some 1 crore also, right. I think it was worth it. So, yeah, I saved and applied for 2021 and went there and just was on my sadhana that, yeah.
How was that? No, before that, I would like, when you did your shampoo and all, and when you went for the test, did you know that this would all be normal, or was that a surprise for you? How did you take it? What was that?
So I was seeing the physical changes. I was many a times I would not sleep at night because I was so energetic. I didn't know that full moon is supposed to be, then I didn't know that full moon supposed to be, you know, taking your energies up and you become meditative. If you are meditative that day, you become more meditative. But those all things just happen. Because also, whatever Sadhguru would say, no, I wanted to come out of my situation so bad that whatever he said, I did everything. He said neem turmeric, I did that. He said just put the water on your, you know, head daily, I did that. In morning 4:35, I would just take cold water and put it on myself. He said 70% of raw food would do great, I would just do that. Twice only I would eat. So I had gone so thin and good, I don't know, energetic and, you know, physically good and mentally good. My willpower was beginning to come. My mood swings are gone and everything. So I was seeing the physical changes and energy changes. But I was little hopeful that, you know, this thing will go. Because the headaches were gone. The pituitary gland swelling will not be there. And it was perfectly fine. Like, it was beyond normal, jo normal logo ka hota hai na ki abhi. So right now what has happened is there was some D3 level, suppose that supposed to be in your body. Suppose it was 100, say 100. But right now for everyone, being at 70 or being at 60 has become so normal that the actual levels that doctors say ki achha, haan, it is 70, then it is okay.
Okay.
Now it has become that.
Like that.
So, I was like good. I was beyond normal. So, waisa tha. I didn't expect it. But everyone could see it. Like, my clothes went all like a hanger-like situation. So, yeah. It was good.
Was it the time you first felt, you earlier said in the podcast, right? You, the brain without pain. Was this the first time in your life that you...
After so many years, I just felt so relaxed and no pain anywhere in the body. So it was something for me, and that's what it means to me. That right meant to me so much that I nothing was good enough to do. Like, if yes, I was good at my job and everything that I was doing, and good at product management, but I was not touching anyone's life like one-on-one. I was not changing anyone's life for good. This is what I wanted, because my life changed completely. So I wanted the same for other women, because this thing of thyroid, PCOD and, you know, hyper mood swings and being very conscious about your body, gaining weight, this is all that today's women go through because of whatever. Even, in fact, men, but men it is a little low. Because also, you know, women have opted for having children a little late, and the lifestyle, how it has become, and how we are not in touch with all the bhutas, the sun, the water, the earth, not in contact with it. So it actually takes a toll on the body. I want to really spread it to every child there, so that if in childhood it is, you know, in you, definitely you're not going to suffer any of it being a grown up. So yeah, that's my mission, that's Colleen's mission. Here we are barely surviving. Like, it's really difficult financially to survive here, but when, you know, people come and they are not related to Isha, or they are not related to any, had done any yoga before, but they just come because someone told them, okay, isse aapka ye theek ho jayega. They just come for that purpose, and then just after the program is over, they are just sitting like this with an awe that, okay, you know, we forgot why we came here. Now our growth is our main concern, or, you know, we are feeling so happy. It was never that before. so that is really fulfilling. I don't think so I'll trade it for anything else in life.
Yes, Eka, thank you so much for doing that. Because I guess all of us, you know, when I did yoga, so there was a certain teacher who, you know, got touched and she did it. And that's why I was able to do the Hatha Yoga practice. I think, yes, there's a lot of focus on inner engineering, but Hatha Yoga, you know, itself is so powerful and it really helps me a lot. Like even today when I face when I'm someone who has gone through depression and all, even still I get it a little bit back. So it's the Yogasana and the Surya Kriya practice that really brings me back. So how was the Hatha Yoga teacher's training and with ashram, whatever you're able to say?
It was a life-changing experience, and it really changed me for who I am today. I think Sadhguru very rightly says that it's an insurance for your lifetime. We can go through anything in our life if we have done that, and I don't know, he has just put a seed which is growing into a plant, and then every day little by little, and I really feel very blessed to take these ancient practices and, you know, this science of yoga to everyone. For even very simple practice like Isha Kriya helps so much. You know, pregnant ladies, when they deliver, they go through such pain. But just someone who I know was doing Isha Kriya regularly through entire her time, pregnancy time. And it was very beautiful for her, because at the time of the delivery, she could just say to herself that, okay, I'm not the body, I'm not the mind. And do it very gracefully. There was pain, again, there was pain, but there was no suffering. So, little things, how people become aware, Hatha Yoga training gave me that, to offer that. Sometimes I think that, okay, when my practices are not going great and I'm not doing my own sadhana, that, okay, I'm not capable enough and, you know, I'm not deserving enough to give it to other people if I'm not doing it that good. But then Sadhguru gave us this responsibility not to just go and sit there in ashram, just, you know, be there. And we went through training to go out to give it to everyone. And yes, so that sense of responsibility has come. It was a great turning point. It's an insurance. There only, I think Colleen was there volunteering. I was in my sadhana. See, he will say any other thing in his podcast, but I am clearing it, okay?
Clear it, Eka.
So, I didn't know his name also then. But he was volunteering for our program.
So he was already a Hatha Yoga teacher.
He completed his training in 2017, and I did in 2021. So, yeah, and I think we met up after upgrade.
Okay.
Our first upgrade. So teachers have to go through this upgrade process
after the program. You go back again.
Yeah. After the training, or if you have completed training in 2012. Sometime you come to the ashram when the upgrades are happening, you intensify your sadhana, get your practices corrected, once again go through that the sense of responsibility that, okay, what we are there for outside. So yes, it's a good reminder. It's like a mini training. It's very nice. Many things So I completed my Shunya and my BSP while I was in the Hatha Yoga teacher's training, and because it was COVID, our trips didn't happen. So usually in Hatha Yoga teacher's training, there are many trips, no? For our fun part was dancing. We used to dance every week. Like, something happened, okay, we used to dance. Something did not happen, we used to dance. So, our training, so everyone in our training are very close together because, I don't know, somehow we have very good friendships. We understand each other really good. There were about 240 people. Around 200 got their certificates. I don't know. I'm not sure. So, yes. It's
you
nice.
Missed the main part. Kauli Nanna.
He was not there. For me, he was not there in the training. Okay. I just saw his face. I didn't know his name or anything. Okay. Later, when I applied for my name change, then someone told me, oh, Colleen's name was something else. And he changed it. And he was a lawyer before.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, then he would be able to tell you better that how to change. Then, after upgrade, I went to him. Oh, your name was changed. Okay, what was it? Things like that I asked. Then, we started talking.
Okay. Continue, Akka. Not stop there.
What?
How did you guys meet? Meet is okay. Now, how did you realize that, you know, because you have a vision to take Hatha Yoga. Did you find that in Anna also that he has a shared vision of this? Or
I think the first time that we actually talked was on 21st of May 2022. That is just after.
Which is the date? 21st.
Oh, he will. Yeah, yeah.
21st May
2022.
No, you don't tell him today.
Okay. So, we talked to, that was the first day actually we talked, and we were actually not talking to each other or something. After the end happened for the upgrade, I was just there in the Adiyogi Mandapam talking to one of my participants, and every one of the teachers just went here and there. Some went to Devi temple, some Dhyanalinga, something. Some stayed behind for volunteering. So I don't know if you know Amit Anna. No? So there's one senior teacher who is also very good friends of Colleen and mine. So he was just sitting there, and he was also a volunteer for my training, and Colleen was sitting there, and they just saw me talking, and in the mandapam I kept my phone, and he's like, Asta Akka, please come and sit with us. So I'm like, okay, okay, I'll sit with you. So I just sat, and some of his Colleen's Colleen's batch teachers friends were there. So then he just introduced us, okay, Asaka, this is this. Okay, I said namaskaram to everyone, and then everyone was, telling something about themselves. And then Amit Anna goes, okay, so, you know, when are you getting married, Akka? So, yeah, and then something I said, and then he said, you know, he's also not married. So like that. So it was kind of, I don't know, matchmaking happening there. So it usually doesn't happen, okay? So I was very serious. Not serious. I was very... like, I would not go to Pepperwine or Mundram Pillai in my focus. Training. Yeah, focus. Very focused. Focus. I would just eat in the Bhiksha hall. So, they asked me, okay, have you been to Mundram Pillai? I said, what is that?
Oh, anarchy. This podcast is not going to get published. I only take people who are going to Mundram.
Then, Colleen was like, oh, that is the most sacred place. You should go there. If you did not touch it, sir, you are missing something. So they were like,
and
okay,
you believe
okay.
That.
Yeah. I was like, no. I know they were talking about the restaurant then. So I said, okay. So they just took me in the afternoon there, and when we reached there, it was closed. Wow. So we went as a group of 6-7 people, but somehow the teachers got dispersed, some here, some there. Then we were just, I think, 4 people. Me, Colleen, Prajakta, and now Kanika. No. then Kanika now Nidali.
So, oh, Nidali Akka was also there.
Yeah. So, it was upgrade, no? Uh-huh. So, that's why all the teachers from different batches were there. So, then we got to know each other's story, that how we got into Isha, what brought us here. And later when we were going back to the cottages, I think then he had the chance to ask when, you know, both of them were going front and me and Colleen were back just talking. Then he said, okay, you want to go to, what is that big ground?
Nalanda.
That you, I am very fond of walking on grass. So he's like, okay, do you want to go to Nalanda grounds for a walk? And I saw that, okay, they have gone front and, you know, he's not asking. Then I said, okay. Then there we discussed more that, you know, how I want to take forward the Hatha Yoga journey and teaching. And how he wants to do it. And it kind of aligned very well. Because his idea was also, you know, well-being for everyone. No matter where he is or where I am or... well-being for just for everyone around us, growth for everyone. So his was also the same, and till then he actually had the idea of the place, but we didn't have this place. So we talked about. I didn't know that he lived in Goa. Till then, I didn't know only that he lived in Goa, and you know that I knew that he was a lawyer before. And then it was time for, then we sat in those mandapam near the Kal, where Kal Bhairav Karma happens. What is that called?
Nirkaya Sthana, something like that.
So yeah, there we sat there for some time, and then it was time for Devi Abhishekam. So we went there and the student line, and I think we did the Abhishekam, somehow we did the Abhishekam together. I wanted to do it, but he was just there, and that was the time we actually had both of in our minds that maybe this is good to go, you know. That was the first day actually we were talking, but we somehow understood that it is going to be good from here, or you know, the companionship, or it is Devi who's bringing us together actually. And because he has done Daha Nivaranam, asking for a partner when my training was going on.
Okay.
Some his very good friend.
I hope Daha Nivaranam is already full. I think it's very hard to get.
So one of his friends told him that, you know, you should really go for Daha Nivaranam, because he was really looking for a partner. Right. He didn't have an urge to be with a partner or felt a need for quite some years, I think 33 or 34 years of his life. But then he suddenly had that. Mm. And then it was hard to find a partner probably. So he went for Daha Nivaranam on the suggestion. And what Colleen says is that it was the first time he was bowing down to a deity or someone. So we really feel Devi... helped us coming together, or it is just, you know, there in the cosmos that we have to be together to make this happen. So yeah, in I think 3 or 4 days we decided, let's get married.
Oh
yeah.
What happened in 3 to 4 days? That was very fast.
Nothing, I think on the first day itself.
Who proposed?
I think it was mutual.
Okay.
Yeah. No one actually proposed.
You guys knew.
Huh. That this is good to go.
Yeah.
You know how Sadhguru says that if you're consciously willing to... if you're consciously okay to take others' nonsense and he's okay to take your nonsense, you can just be together. It's okay. So, yeah, we knew that this is our dream is, you know, this, and we should take it ahead, and it's also, you know, one drop of spirituality, the bigger dream to everyone, how Sadhguru says it, and we are taking it ahead.
How did you convince your parents?
So for quite some years, they were finding a match for me.
You? Okay.
Like an arrange thing. But whoever I talked to, if I talked about ki, okay, this is my, you know, say supposedly if I told them that, yeah, I don't eat so much of sugar.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe onion, garlic, they would just get afraid.
Is it?
Yeah, they would maybe think that, okay, I'm going to change their eating habits also, or I'm not going to, you know, adjust and things like that. So they were kind of afraid of me being and coming together. Okay. So it never worked out with anyone. And they were still, you know, on it, searching. They from somewhere from they found a Hatha Yoga teacher who was in our, so they were finding from our samaj, from our community only. They were not going out of the community is what they decided. But then here I suggested, okay, then this is
Hatha Yoga teacher.
Yes, this is a Hatha Yoga teacher, and
he also doesn't eat that much onion. <garlic. laughs>
So this is how it is, and he does like they were skeptical because we had quite a age difference, and also we were both going to do just the Hatha Yoga teaching, and I didn't leave my job till then. I think I continued my job till 2022, okay. December. So I didn't leave my job till then. So, but afterwards I was just going to be a teacher. This is what we have, I have decided. So they were just really concerned about the financial part also. And then, you know, we don't know their community, how it's going to be. So it took some time. I think in September, my parents along with my few relatives, they went to his home, and which is in Greater Noida. And then both the families met, and after that it was decided. And then our roka or the fix of the thing was done here in Goa in December, where we had both the family holiday.
Come here.
Yeah. Okay. We came here, and yes, that is how it happened. And in 2023, we got married in 25th 23,
March. Okay, that's just recent.
Yeah, just 5 days ago was our marriage anniversary.
Oh. Nice.
So actually what happened is, in we met in, like, we decided kind of decided in Devi temple when it was first Navdurga's. In September there is a Navdurga, right?
Okay.
So you know what is Navdurga?
No, I don't. I was about to ask, what is a Navdurga? Is it like Navratri?
Okay. Navdurga, Navratri, same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So in Navratri, my parents went there to have a discussion, and I think it was, I was doing Devi Sadhana. So after, just after the Devi Sadhana, just when, what is the day called? I'm forgetting so many words today. Yeah.
Of what culmination?
Culmination. The culmination day was our marriage date decided.
Yes, Hatha Yoga is not proper.
So on the culmination day of the Devi Sadhana, our marriage date got fixed, and it was so that one Navdurga comes, Navratri comes in March also.
Okay. Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. So fourth day of that we got married. So it was everything around Devi.
Devi. Oh.
Yes.
Wedding was here or in ashram?
Ashram.
Devi.
Ashram wedding. Anna, we have been keeping so busy, or maybe we are just lazy, that we have not uploaded one pic also of our marriage.
Actually, no, I am seeing both of you in Hatha Yoga posture sitting. I am like, maybe they have been married for a long time. This has been there for a long time. That was my idea.
Till now, we have not got the album also made.
Oh, is
that
it?
Marriage album. Our parents are behind our back that why...
It's please okay. Give one for the podcast where I can put it at least, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, yes, that happened. For me also, I think finding a partner was really a tedious process. But with him, it felt like not complete, it felt like comfortable and like fulfilled. So for all the years before the training, I have been feeling this, I have been having this feeling of incompleteness, you know, and filling that void with something or the other. I think somewhere middle of the training, I was still feeling that, okay, I don't know, I'm still feeling very incomplete, and you know, Sadhguru, this yoga is not working. I was just talking to myself, and I think it was an afternoon after the first session. There happens a big morning practice session of yoga, from 5:30 to around 9:30 or 10. So after that, I was just crying to myself and saying, no, I'm still not feeling very complete, and you know, maybe this yoga is not working. And somehow every question that I had for my being, and since childhood, something that has always been bothering me, that was answered when it clicked, you know, in the training. It was always answered on the same day, or somehow like Sadhguru just took care of it, or it was just a coincidence, I don't know, but it's definitely his grace. So I was feeling that, okay, it's not working. And that evening session, there was a video of Sadhguru being played where he says something about the yogasanas and why we are keeping the foot together and why we are keeping the heels together. And he says about, you know, how it is a circuit and the energy is complete, like the flow of the energy is complete. And then he says, just that will make you feel complete. If you have a feeling of incompleteness, something that he said, and that will make you feel complete. That, from that day onwards, so I have knocked knees. Many a times I am not able to keep my heels together or big toes together, big toes touching. But since that day, I make sure that, you know, whatever happens if I'm doing yogasanas or Surya Kriya, doing Hatha Yoga, wherever it is, my big toes are touching. Wherever it is, my heels are together. I just make sure, and it made a huge difference. Bringing that awareness and consciousness while we are practicing Hatha Yoga, these are small aspects of, you know, breath and how you go into the posture rather than going fully, is just changed everything. So that need of filling that void of incompleteness just went away with the training. So when me and Colleen came together as well, it was just for the growth of both of us, not because there was a void and we wanted to fill it. You know, there was something missing and we wanted to fill it with someone else's presence. So it was a very conscious decision.
So now let's talk a little bit about this space you have created and how you created it and what is your vision with it.
So, it's too much. I don't know where to start. So this is kind of our mini ashram. This is the small start to our vision. We wanted to create a space for everyone to come and learn Hatha Yoga, experience these practices and, you know the benefits of them. At the same time, we wanted this to happen in a consecrated space. So that's why we have Sannidhi, we have Devi Gudi, and probably we'll have Devi Yantra also soon. So that, and it's been happening. You know, many teachers come here and we don't have much to provide for their stay as of now. But they are very happy just living in a tent or just putting a mattress in the yoga shala here with a mosquito net. And in morning, if you will be here, you will see the birds, you will hear the birds chirping, and you will be able to hear the sound of the ocean, sound of the sea and the waves. And at night you will be... So it's not very polluted or populated area. So you'll be able to see very clearly all the stars and moon. It's very fairy tale like.
It is. There's no sound of vehicles also.
Yeah, no sound. It's very peaceful. And this, everyone who comes there, whether they are meditators or, you know, have done yoga in their life or meditation in their life, doesn't matter. When they come here, they always say there's this some other thing in this area of yours. There's some positivity, some grace. And they feel meditative here. So some, you know, someone rented our space for their dance lessons or something. Oh, okay. And it was kind of a very hoo-hoo kind of, you know, very jazzy dance. But the teacher said that she felt very meditative all this while, and she have not never felt it in entire lifetime. So there's some grace in this area. We are building it. We are building some dorms also next time. So when people can come, they have place to stay. We provide all the sattvic food. Probably not for you. So
I had nice salad and the juice. The soup was very nice.
Thank you. Yeah. So we are planning retreats. This time we had a retreat where two Russian teachers collaborated with us, and they brought 28 to 29 people from Russia, and they were taught in this very own yogashala, and we served them all sattvic food twice a day. It was for 11 days, and we went on a waterfall and all a trekking and dolphin visit.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and many things, a spice farm visit, many things. It was really fun. And then after, from this, they went to Grace of Yoga.
Okay, Mahashivratri.
Yeah, Mahashivratri. And from there, they are sending me photos of just a banana and white rice in their plate that asked them, please call us back. Yeah. Because this is what we can eat here in ashram. Please, we want your food.
Oh, okay.
So, it was really nice. That was the highlight of our season. So, when I say season, we are only open from October till March or April 10th or 15th, because, you know, Goa season is like that it's rainy and humid in the other months. So then we travel and teach. So last year we did some army programs, me and Colleen, in Jodhpur and Gwalior, and we went around and teaching. So yeah, we are looking forward to travel and teach more if there are opportunities. Like, we would love to go to different cities if there are group of people, 10 or 12 people or families which want to learn Hatha Yoga and explore the practices. We would love to go there.
So let's say there is 10, 12 people. What all would they need to provide you guys for that you can go there and teach?
Maybe food and accommodation if they can. And if they cannot, some help in finding where we can accommodate.
Basically the hall. Or you can conduct in their homes also if there is
enough space. Yeah, it's very easy to conduct in their homes. We'll have to just find out how many people are there and is there place for everyone or not. If it is a clean place and, you know, not many furniture, we can just do it in their homes, on their terrace, anywhere. But only the willingness is required, Anna. I think if you are willing, anything can happen. You can just make it happen. So, yeah.
At the same time, I think they should come here and do the programs also during the season time.
Yes, yes.
So, how can one contact you? How can one know when are you conducting programs? Which would be a good place to contact you guys?
So, we are not marketing ourselves so much, but we should. So, we'll have 1 or 2 days retreat for people from nearby to come, say Pune or Bangalore or Mumbai, so that they can just come on weekends, learn a practice, say Surya Kriya or Surya Shakti, experience it, stay here with us in tents, in dorms.
Enjoy the beach.
Definitely have some sattvic food, be in the fish consecrated. fish is great here in Goa, by the way. And be in the consecrated space and they can go. We mostly take very private sessions that many people come here. Like today, one Anna just walked in from North Goa that he wanted to have his practice reviewed. And yeah, so people can just message us on Instagram. We are coming up with the website. So you can also email us there. And we will post all the programs if we are having any retreats or if we are having any scheduling any workshops. and we travel and teach, so we'll all put the places that where we are traveling, so they can contact there. It's yet to come. But any which way, Instagram and WhatsApp always works.
So Instagram, so I'll put the links in the description.
Thank you.
So thank you so much, Akka, for this podcast. We are nearing to an end.
Thank you.
Is there something that I missed in asking, or something that you would like to share?
I don't remember. But I would just want to, you know, tell everyone that whatever it is that you are going through, and you feel that you're not getting out of it any soon, or you're just stuck, just try doing some practices. You may not be able to, you know, feel unstuck, but it will give you strength to move forward. And try some Hatha Yoga.
Yeah.
Only your willingness is required. We are there, willing to come and teach you and offer you.
One thing I want to ask. You said in between sometimes you are not, sometimes your sadhana might go off, but still you would feel like, are you capable of teaching it? So what I noticed among the community is some people are not able to keep up the practices. Mm. And they feel a lot guilty for that. And then they do not restart the practice thinking. And even when you look at social media, it's about people doing 8 hours of practice and, you know, so many. So somewhere a lot of people feel left out. I also sometimes felt that. So what would you suggest, like someone who's new to the sadhana, someone might just have done Shambhavi. But that itself is a very beautiful practice for me. But they feel like, you know, they need to do advanced programs, or if I feel left out, I need to do some Yama. So how does someone go through this? Did you have your own struggles with this, or it just happened for you?
So a lot of time, what I have noticed with me and other people is that, you know, there is so much going on around you and in your mind that suppose you have done all the programs, but you're just not able to, you know, practice. Even if you have time, you don't feel like. So at that point of time, what the best thing is to do is, that even if your chatter is, mind chatter is going on, and if you know you are empty stomach, just even if you have your mat, don't have your mat, you have taken bath, not taken bath, doesn't matter. Just sit and start doing Pasangasana. Just start doing, and then you will be able to complete it. Most of the time this happens, and you know, you should not feel very... How?
Guilty. That's all.
No, not
left out.
When others are doing.
FOMO, fear of missing out. Comparison.
Yeah, you should not compare yourself and your situations with other people. Thank you for giving me that word.
Thank God, I figured it out.
Yes, you should not compare yourself. If just one practice. Just pick any practice. Now I told, like, Isha Kriya. If just one practice you do with all that you have, just sit for those 12 minutes, 15 minutes, that will be enough for you to tell you and guide you that what should you pick next. For some people, they connect more with Yogasanas. They like, some people like Surya Kriya more. So for some people, it is like they liked the Surya Kriya, but now they like Yogasanas, or they want to do both. So it's a very individual thing. People who are doing 8 hours, 9 hours of yoga, it's okay. It's their life, you know. Appreciate them and move ahead. Don't have that glue on yourself that experience is sticking to you. That, okay, someone else is doing more. You do. On whatever time you have, whatever suits your body better. Everyone's body is not same. I, for myself, has knocked knees, so it's very difficult for me to do Surya Kriya many times. So it's okay. So it's your journey. No one else's, you know, can take your hand and make you walk on it or push you. You have to do it on your own.
Thank you, Akka. Thank you so much for this podcast. It's, to be very honest, it's been a while since I took a podcast. So to be very honest, I was also like, will I be able to do it? So initially when we began, I was like, how is it going? Is it going? But it's been very beautiful for me. Thank you for sharing your journey. Yeah. Thank you for being really vulnerable with us, because yes, that is what makes all the difference, you know.
No, and thank you for coming here. I hope you enjoy the Goan fish.
Yes. Yeah. So anything last that you would like to leave the audience with before we leave, other than subscribe and like the video?
If you want to get your, you know, back to your practices and you're feeling that you are not able to do it on your own, you can ask us to help you online, and also you can come to Goa and restart your practices. Or if you want to learn anything, just come under starry. We'll make you sleep under starry nights, under starry sky. And, you know, there's bonfire. There will be so much fun. But the main thing is getting back on the track. We'll help you with that.
Thank you, Akka.
Namaskar.